Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and deify the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
And I'm Chrysanthi Tan. This is Snoke and Snoke. And I have music on Spotify, YouTube. Have some album. I have a Star Wars cover. I have Battle of the Heroes cover, which was a Star Wars Minute former closing song.
Yeah.
And I also have a podcast called Star Wars Music Minute.
Star Wars Music Minute.
Minute.
That's right. All this and Andy Rooney here on Minute 60 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. We're 1 hour into this movie.
Time flies.
And Minute 8 starts with the caretakers giving Rey a slow burn stare. And it ends with Luke saying, Ben. Which we've heard him say before.
Mm-hmm. It's been done.
I do love the, as mentioned before, I do love the caretakers. And I love this little kind of, I love how much time is given to this slow kind of like,
It's a very, very Laurel and Hardy slow burn take of them looking down and then looking up. Fantastic. Yeah. Chef's kiss.
At the end of the novel, the caretakers have like a certain, like a thing from their perspective, basically, of like all this that has transpired. And they're like, well, not to give Last Jedi spoilers for the end of the movie, but they do talk about how, oh, there was that man who came and then he just never, he just like he disappeared one day. No one knew where, knows where he went. And for a while he had that, like his niece or whatever. And the person that he called, and she was, you know, she was very destructive and...
And his weird dog that ate all the porgs.
But they talk about how like Luke was very respectful and yeah, they liked him and they cared for him. And that's basically their role is they they're like, until the next guest, like, well, I guess we'll keep all the Jedi stuff safe until someday someone else will come.
I guess Rey goes back,
which I
right?
I think is cool.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't think she does.
Doesn't she go back in Rise of Skywalker?
I don't recall.
Yeah, remember she flies the TIE fighter there, and she flies Luke's X-wing back to civilization.
But so, I mean, to like live there, right, I think they're clearly used to Jedi every now and then doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Although I do like the idea of them being like, "Hey, what happened to that guy? He was so nice." Like, although like he just disappeared and left his dirty laundry all over the promontory.
I can't remember
exactly, but I think they're like, we'll keep his stuff safe or something. Like they are the protectors of the Jedi artifacts there.
Yeah. I like that. Then they're going to keep his stuff safe in his hut and the other huts. Like the reason why Rey didn't stay initially in one of the other huts is those are all like full of other. There's like, oh, no, that's Kit Fisto's hut. He was here for a while. He just left all of his junk there. We're holding it for him. Who knows when he's going to come back?
The Yarrel Poof Suite.
Yeah, which is a tall, skinny house.
Well, yeah. Now the Jedi Master Suite is open again. Another opening.
I think I'm a little put off by Rey's total indifference to the fact that she smashed the caretaker's cart. She just looks down and is just like, meh.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Me too.
I thought she apologized. I thought there was that beat in here, but I guess not.
Sorry, but you know, she was raised by Uncle Plux, who I'm sure was not like the most teaching people manners type of thing. So,
What did you just call him?
The guy who owned the Millennium Falcon. Uncle, that's mine. That guy.
Okay.
yeah, it's did she apologize when she blew a hole in the wall? No. At some point, I feel like she apologized. I feel like she gave a sorry, and they were just
being
like,
a Jedi means never having to say you're sorry.
I guess
she's a little bit oblivious to them. Yeah. In the movie, it does seem like a little bit of an oversight, but in the book. There's that whole scene, which actually it's in the deleted scenes where they go to the village with the party and the music and the all that stuff, all the instrument that they created for the caretakers. But then it got cut out of the film, and I'm really sad because we could have had another Star Wars instrument, and it was this really cool instrument. But anyway, where Rey thinks that she's going to save them from something because Luke tells them about this race comes over to raid them every year, and it's like every year, like Rey walks out from that conversation being like, oh my gosh, well, aren't you gonna do anything? Don't you do anything? Don't you stop it? Like, this thing happens every year. They come invade the island and you don't do anything, and it happens every year. And Luke is like, it's part, you know, non-interventionist basically. And she's like, I'm gonna do something. And so they go down to that party, or she thinks that she's about to save the day and save the caretaker, save the Lanai from this invasion. But it turns out to be like a party, and sort of the way Luke phrased it was just sort of Luke phrased it as an antagonistic arrival of the other race when that wasn't actually what it was. And Rey jumped to the conclusion that this thing was happening that she had to save. And that was like one of her early lessons, was that, see, it's not always that.
Right. So he intentionally misled her.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least left it vague to see where he left it up to her, and she went.
It's a sort of only,
which I think
only
is
what
interesting.
You bring with you kind of a thing.
Right.
Because heroes, you know, sometimes they get that hero complex. What's my next thing I have to save? And sometimes it's like, just chill.
Right.
Just let the inhabitants do their custom.
Oh, yeah, we get a bunch of, this is number two in Luke's Jedi lessons, and number two is that the legacy of the Jedi is failure, hypocrisy, and hubris, which I really like that. I really like Luke's total, this is the first, other than Palpatine, we've never had someone who disliked the Jedi and was looking at them with a critical eye.
And Jabba.
It's true.
And Jabba. Dooku.
That's true. Okay. So other than Dooku, Jabba, Watto.
And Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon, yeah. Well, this is kind of, he was still part of the team, ultimately.
Look, I love this too. I love it. I mean, it's probably more memorable to me when I was a Star Wars Minute newbie, but the very first film that I was on this show for was Attack of the Clones. And I remember I had the scene where Dooku is talking to them about, it was sort of brings up that the Jedi might not be all that they seem. And I just I have since before the Disney trilogy came out, I've been like, hello, the Jedi are the hubris of the Jedi is how aren't more people talking about this? It's it's criminal what they let happen to Anakin. You know, Anakin turned out to be quite bad himself, but you know, I think there was a show where I accidentally defended Anakin's actions, but there, I like that they just call it out here and from Luke himself. I think it was really an important thing to do. And I think the people that think it's such a departure and whatever are just haven't been looking at the facts in front of them from the previous movies.
Yeah, no, it's good. It
are we blind?
Brings to the forefront that thing that was I don't know, oddly still subtext within the, if you just look at it as purely like, you know, the adventure that's going on, you don't really get that, like, oh, the adventure that's going on is because the Jedi were kind of, you know, they had gotten cozy and they were bad at their jobs. They had gotten lazy. Hubris, exactly. Hubris. And
you can blame external forces as being what caused the downfall of the Jedi or the Republic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, like, a lot of these pieces were already in place, like, before then. This is something right. In the Thrawn book, the first canon Thrawn book that came out a few years ago, there's this part where Thrawn is talking about, like, yeah, the you could say that the Empire destroyed the Republic, like, but it was already unstable to begin with. There were so many, like, fighting forces, like, no one agreed on anything, they couldn't get anything done, like, it was already a really fragile Republic to begin with. And so, yeah, you can blame it on one external force, but how long was it going to last anyway, and how great was it?
Right.
Yeah, like he says, at the height of their power, Darth Sidious was able to overthrow the galaxy and wipe out all the Jedi and so on. So they couldn't have been that.
And it is weird to hear Luke Skywalker saying Darth Sidious.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not weird in a bad way, but it's weird in a, like, oh, okay, wait, it's bridging those two, you know, and you do get that. As we've said before, I think one of the, at least for me, one of the best ways to experience the prequel trilogy is by referencing it. You know, I like it as things that happened, and when you can mix in those elements, you can kind of pick and choose. You know, I like having, as much as I like watching The Phantom Menace, the other ones, you know, the as a whole, it's more just kind of like, okay, like, I like, it's, I like that this happened and we can make a reference to it. And it gives us a deeper, you know, it expanded the universe, expanded the world, the galaxy. And so it's interesting, but it is, does feel weird to hear that name coming out of Mark Hamill's mouth in reference to Darth Sidious. It's like, oh, he saw that movie too? Oh, no, wait, that's his universe.
Although it's weird because Luke clearly had to have done some independent research in between Return of the Jedi and now, because Darth Sidious, like, even in the movies, at no point is his name, he never says, it was I, Darth Sidious, the whole time, you know.
But at the end of Return of the Jedi, is, you know, Anakin's ghost shows up and he's got to be like, all right, so what was the deal with that guy? And then Anakin's like, well, let me tell you.
Oh, so you think they had a whole discussion at that point?
Or at some point in between then, in between Return of the Jedi and now, I'm sure Luke probably talked to Anakin as Force Ghost at least once.
It's easy to imagine, though, Anakin getting caught up in it and being like, well, from my point of view, the Jedi were evil. And then him turning evil again as he's defending his actions as
his
a younger
ghost
man.
Starts, it turns a little bit purple and it's like turning red. And they're like, wait, no.
Relax. Take a whiff of our Cooper, the casino guy.
Smell the croupier. Speaking of blame, though. Luke is totally subtweeting Obi-Wan here hard. He's just like, yeah, a Jedi was responsible for training and you know, creating Darth Vader. And I want, yes. I do kind of want Ben's Force Ghost to be like, excuse me.
Like, hold on.
Pardon.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I do feel like Lucas enjoys playing devil's advocate with her, sort of mm-hmm. like how he's playing hard to get on the island to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think he is, what is it called? Like Socratic reasoning her.
Making her come to her own conclusions.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like it is a little bit silly to me that she is defending the Jedi so staunchly. It's like, how much does she actually know about the Jedi at this point? She's like, that's not true. Like, just so loyally defending them, which is funny to me. It's, you know, like a newbie thing to do.
Yeah, it's I was wondering about that because he says, you know, it was a Jedi Master who was responsible for the creation of Darth Vader. And like, does Rey know who Darth Vader even is at this point? Like, that was never brought up in it. I was imagining Chewie, like, bringing her up to speed on the way to Octu. Like, oh, yeah, Luke's father was Darth Vader. It was crazy, you know, and so on. But, like, because saying he's responsible for Darth Vader, I'd be like, are you talking about Kylo Ren? You're like, no. Like, oh, these kids, they just don't get it with their, you know.
Well, I think moments like this are where the line is kind of crossed between, like, okay, should we just... there's like a little bit of a gap between what the audience knows and what Rey knows, and we're just supposed to willfully fill in that she knows it from
somehow
stories
and
whatever
up. Yeah,
but still I think it's important for anyone undergoing Jedi training that they understand both sides of the coin,
right? Mm. Well, which is what Luke is about to mention.
I'm picturing like a career day where the Jedi come and they explain their thing. Then the Sith come and they go, don't listen to them. Our side is much better. And they get to make their pitch.
But I do assume that Darth Vader is well known just for being
a menace. Like
part of the Empire, you know, not the Sith. Like the Jedi are forgotten, but like Darth Vader is real. Everybody knows about that.
How could that seems strange to me.
How so?
I feel like Darth Vader was very famous. I feel like he was the most feared person in the galaxy for a while.
Right, but it seems like after the fall of the Empire, I don't know how people could know about Darth Vader without knowing about the Jedi. And also, I don't even know how people...
She did know about the Jedi.
She thought they were a myth.
Yeah, she thought they were a myth.
Right. She knew about them, but didn't... like the right. She knew about them, but as a myth. And so
it's one
when
of those
turning
weird things about
the switch
Star
between
Wars.
Myth and real,
yeah.
Then she right. suddenly knows a lot about them.
And that's why she's so into them. That's why she's so excited about
them. But it's one of those weird things that in Star Wars, it's generally a weird, like, all right, just don't think about it. That the fact that 20 years after the fall of the Republic, people don't even remember the Jedi or like, oh, they're all extinct and, you know, they're just sorcerer's ways and all that stuff. You know, believe me, I was a 25-year-old guy at that time. Surely I would remember the Jedi if they were a thing, but yeah.
Oh, you mean it's weird that they forgot?
It's weird that the Jedi are regarded, that no one knows about the Force, that the Jedi are regarded as a weird, you know,
right
thing. Han Solo, who was a young man during the peak of the Jedi, doesn't believe in the Force or any of that stuff. So
I think it's highly dependent on where you live, maybe. I think someone growing up in Coruscant today would know what the Jedi are and what the Force is. But again, we're talking like Outer Rim people. They just don't get the same news as everyone else.
And what they do get is probably controlled and filtered.
Right.
Or the opposite. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. Even in this country, there are certain places that teach certain histories.
Mm-hmm. And the truth might not be delivered the same way to all the people. I mean, it's certainly not here, so it wouldn't be there. But
yeah. Also, truth is a point of view.
That's Obi-Wan talking. Excuse me. I do like that. Then, you know, when Rey kind of has a rebuttal, she's like, wait, and then a Jedi saved him and, you know, knew there was still good in him and brought him back. And then he says, and then I became a legend, which is
that hit me hard.
Extra textual, because it's like, yeah, okay, everything that happened after Return of the Jedi, but before now, is legends.
Legend. Yeah.
I became a legend, just like my clone, Luke, and my horse pilot friend, and all these other guys.
But that is the burden of a man who has been put on a pedestal his whole adult life.
Yeah.
It sucks. He's like living under the weight of his own image. I feel for him.
Do you think that besides Jedi or wannabe Jedi, do you think that there are other people who just see Luke as a famous person that are also trying to find him?
Yeah, like journalists and stuff? Yeah.
Journalists or just kind of, you know, fans, essentially, like people who are just like, oh man, this guy, like, what's up? You know, like almost like a...
I bet.
Somebody who might want to try to find a reclusive, you know, author or like a... You know, like
J.D. Salinger.
Yeah, J.D. Salinger or like Bill Watterson or people who are out of the public eye, but, you know, have a famous name. Like, do you think that there are people who are just trying to hunt down Luke Skywalker just for the finding him's sake, just to know what he's about and see what his deal is?
I think if we can conceive of it, it's possible in Star Wars.
That's true.
In such a big universe.
Space paparazzi.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate Luke's hermitness. It does so many things. It opens so many possibilities.
Well, so that's what I want to tell the story now. Here's my story. I should save it for a pitch to somebody, right? Here's my story of it's the guy who's been like trying to find all the clues. He's got the little, you know, the little thumbtacks in the bulletin board, and he's been, you know, he's like, okay, based on this, he's assembling all of his friends think he's crazy. He's trying to put it all together. And he's like, I think Luke Skywalker is still alive and he might be over here. And he's managed to kind of narrow down where Luke might be to this group of planets. And he shows up, you know, he flies over to the system. He picks it. He's like, all right, well, that looks like people, you know, people can't live there. People could live here. Let me check this out. And he goes around and he's got things. And he's like, all right, well, according to this, I'm picking up a faint blip of, you know, maybe it's some kind of transponder from the X-Wing or something. And he does. Finally narrows it down, finds where Luke has been staying, and he shows up the day after The Last Jedi happens. So Luke's gone. Luke's just, he finds some like potentially evidence that he could have been here, but he's like, oh, he's not here. I'll have to keep looking.
Just a pile of clothes with a metal hand.
Yeah, exactly.
So someone involved in this is also someone, and then they stop by the former Dex's diner for some clues.
There you go.
And someone related to Dex is involved with this. Also, someone who's like a descendant of one of the clones. From the old days, is involved with this too.
Mm.
Yeah, and when this story is told in the audiobook, you'll know, because there'll be like that New Zealand accent, and you know, a clone. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You'll meet them first, and then you won't know that they're an ex-clone yet. There'll just be somebody that he's talking to.
Totally.
Mm.
I like it. Let's go with it.
All right.
Also, Mara Jade.
I also like that it, because Empire Strikes Back, of course, is all about Darth Vader scouring the galaxy trying to find Luke Skywalker. So it would have a nice ring theory. You could have all these probe droids being sent out to try to find Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. It was just one plucky individual with gumption.
I mean, the Empire honestly probably has a lot of people. I mean, the First Order probably has a lot of people on Luke's tail as it is right now.
You would think.
Yeah, I would.
So, Pete, I hate to bring this up because I know you said you were sick of talking about this, but,
maybe I'm not,
yes, maybe you can weigh in. The subject of bringing balance to the Force comes up where, Luke says for many years there was balance and then I saw Ben. I assume he means Ben Quadaneros, but so Luke clearly means there was balance, meaning there was only Jedi and there were no bad guys around.
Yeah, that's false.
That's false. That's my statement that that's what he's saying is false, or that's what
Luke is wrong.
Luke is wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's one of those things that
I think people interpret the prophecy in a way that I don't agree with.
What's your perception of the prophecy?
The prophecy is super vague. So if we consider the prophecy as there will be a chosen one who will bring balance to the Force. First mm-hmm. of all, that in itself tells us very little. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to different parties to interpret that prophecy. And so one interpretation could be the moment Anakin is born, something magical, something in the universe will happen and everyone will feel that the Force is in balance. Another interpretation might be as soon as Anakin is born, the Sith will be destroyed and there will be no dark side. And what is the end goal of balance? Mm-hmm. Another interpretation could be, oh, when Anakin reaches adult age, this is when there will be balance and we'll clearly know when the balance has occurred, because balance is when this certain person has died or this certain number of Jedi versus somehow the force will look on the midichlorian meter. I don't know, whatever. Like, there is no way to know when balance is achieved. And so that in itself is like, when people expect any sort of a timeline for Anakin to fulfill this, that already makes no sense to me, because how would you define like when this should happen? To me, a perfectly satisfying prophecy could be like Anakin could set a chain of events in motion that will bring balance in 1,000 years. I'd be fine with that. I am taking it on face value that Anakin is the chosen one just due to Clone Wars. Like, there was an arc where the Mortis arc is when they kind of they establish that Anakin is the chosen one. It's this whole thing. So I'm fine with accepting that. But even in itself, that has never meant too much to me. It's a lot of pressure to put on one person. And also, I think balance is not something that ever should be achieved as like, oh, balance, and now it stays in balance. Like, the person just has to stand on top. You just have to keep the ball never rolling. I just think it's impossible. It's an impossible pursuit. There's no such thing as balance. There's these two sides that both polar ends are too lopsided. And I think there's a way to, and I think even the characterization of the dark side as something dark is already too black and white for me. If we consider the dark side as the pursuit of wanting more, the pursuit of, feeling jealousy and sort of having emotions and pursuits, like sort of greed for more things, is what I think of the dark side. And the light side is sort of like the opposite of that. I mean, even if we think chemically, like within people, you could think of the dark and light side as like dopamine and serotonin. And serotonin is like the light side, is like you're happy with what you have. And dopamine is like the molecule that always drives you to want more of something. And dopamine is what makes you want to grab more food and more. And it's also what makes you want to reach out for like friends. And it's also what makes you take measures to save yourself from things. And there's a light side and a dark side to both sides. You need dopamine to drive you toward things that keep you alive, but you can't have so much of it that you just keep seeking more and more and more and more and more. You have to have a certain point where you are satisfied with the amount that you have, and no one person, like everyone has both sides at different times and with different things. And I think true balance is when you have the dark elements and the light elements, and that includes the greed part of you, because greed is what seeks us, like helps us keep ourselves alive. And the part that can also show moderation and be like, okay, I am fine with just, you know, what I got. Like, I don't need to, you know, too much dark side leads to, you know, addiction and things like that. Right. So I think balance is, that's how I feel about balance, is I think there needs to be more okayness with the dark side in combination with the light side. And it never should be about stamping out dark and making light prevail I don't want that.
I agree. I think that's my take too. I think that they're Anakin does bring balance to the Force in eliminating the surplus of, you know, Jedi kind of quote unquote light side do-gooders who are, or, you know, again, overly self-confident and kind of complacent. And then by making it more kind of even footing between the light and dark sides, then that's the balance. Then it's not kind of stagnant, kind of, you know, frozen in amber balance. It's just like, okay, well, now it's at least more equal footing, and things might wobble a little bit in one direction or the other, but at least we're not completely dipped in one direction.
And when things tip into toward the direction of wanting something, that is what keeps us moving, you know, like when things just stop. If you were never thirsty, you would never drink water. Like, it, I mean, not to get like morbid, but like when, that's why, like when people kind of stop working or they stop having a hobbies and things to keep them seeking more knowledge or more connection or whatever, that is when a lot of people see declines in their life. And that's, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, it's purpose and stuff. And the dark side can bring purpose,
as evidenced by the last year or so. There's a lot of people that had a hard time with it because there's not that daily drive was taken away.
Yeah, like I don't waking up and having to do work or like go to a meeting or something. But at the same time, that is also the thing that makes me get up and put clothes on and do another day. And then it kind of, you know, once I'm in it, I'm like, okay, that motivated me to do something. And it would have been, you know, it's like I have to constantly live with that knowledge that I will like something and it will be a little bit like pulling teeth, and that both of those are frankly necessary.
Right.
I remember seeing an explanation from George Lucas, not specifically about RE, the prophecy, but about balance. And he was comparing it to like, you know, like your body. If you are eating healthy food and exercising, then your body will be in balance and be running properly. But if you're indulging in a lot of bad habits, then that's when, you know, comparing like the dark side with like tumors, or, you know, like, oh, if you, unless you take care of yourself, the dark side is going to manifest itself and eventually it will kill you. So it wasn't so much about like, oh, the Sith and the Jedi being equal, as like, well, we have to, you only want the good side, because once that gets out of whack, then that's when the dark side, that's when like the dark side metastasizes and becomes too, but I'm not sure if that even.
That sounds like the same thing that I interpret that as, because the body, when it's working, it's like, it's a system of all these, it's a system of constantly finding what, homeostasis. Mm-hmm. And that revolves around having these levers that are like pulled, but you need like the balance, you know, if you have like too much of one electrolyte, it could throw off another one, and you don't want to have like too much of something. So the body is constantly like kind of adjusting itself to make up for things. But when you have too much of, you know, like cancer metastasizing, that it's not bad because it's the dark, or it's not bad because it's a thing that is proliferating, because we all have little like cancerous things that kind of grow in us all the time, but it doesn't grow to the point where it becomes cancer and or whatnot. Like, it's the imbalance, it's the amount, it's the balance, it's the imbalance of it that's bad, not the fact that there are like viruses in our body all the time and bacteria.
Right.
Right.
The system needs all of these things moving. Yeah.
Well, Pete, sorry again. Sorry I had to bring it up, though.
No, it's all right. I feel good because, you know, I agree with what Chrysanthi was saying about it. I just get the... I feel like I tend to rant about it, so it was very refreshing to hear. Yeah, Chrysanthi talk about it. I think that was, though, all I had for 60. Did you have any other, Alex or Chrysanthi, did you have any other things for the movie in general? Did you want to keep us, we will if we're invited, we will come by to your show to talk about stuff.
Yes.
But oh, is there anything that we should look for? We already mentioned the little piano bit when the Fathiers storm by the bar. Is there anything else we should keep an ear out for coming up?
Yes. The Fathiers, next time you hear them, first of all, pay attention to try to think of whether you can tell how much they weigh and how based on what they sound like. Because if you think about the sound design of a Fathier, they would have had to like conceive of something of that size and weight to make that particular kind of thump that sounds believable. Like imagine if you had something that sounded too light or something that sounded too heavy. I just think it must be so difficult to find that balance.
Yeah.
Also look when the lounge piano scene comes up.
Before the Fanthiers attack.
Yes. Before the
wall breaks
Fanta Banthas attack. They look toward John Williams's previous scores for what that might be. Himself playing. And the crash is there's like a percussive crash there that is performed by his brother. And so that's like technically a Williams brother duet.
Nice.
There.
Okay.
Yeah. In this minute, the last thing is we kind of get a hint of Jedi steps and it kind of goes into the Force theme.
As they're headed toward they're in the Force.
It's like as he's walking up the steps and then they're inside.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thanks. And thanks for being on this week. Like I said, listeners and viewers, you can, after you listen to this, you can look for us as eventual participants in Chrysanthi's YouTube channel. And you can go to StarWarsMinute.com/SWMM. Right? Yes, SWMM. And that'll get you to at least the YouTube version of that, which recommended for all. And also, if you haven't been, if you're confused as to why we're talking about how things look and what we're, and things we're holding up or things we're seeing, maybe you don't know that the show is also on YouTube this season. It's StarWarsMinute.com/YouTube.
What? Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, you've been on camera for about an hour now, Alex.
Sorry. Jeez. Cool boy.
But, so.
Wait,
please.
It's StarWarsMinute.com/MusicMinute.
Music Minute. Okay, there we go. I already said it, so now I have to also make SWMM go there too. So,
oh yeah.
So you can go there two ways. Go to StarWarsMinute.com/SWMM or /MusicMinute.
Always two there are.
And then hopefully you go check that out. Binge all of those if you haven't. Meet us back here on Monday for a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.